The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's a passage, of course, that demands a comment. The gospel passage. Just a note to keep us up on where we are in the book of the prophet Jonah. Do you know? You see how remarkable it is that he makes his way through Nineveh, the city that takes 3 days to go through it, and he had gone but a single day, announcing that Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God and they proclaimed a fast, right? So he didn't even make it hardly into the city, right? It's only a third of the journey through the city. And then everybody's repenting and turning around, right? And that's remarkable, especially considering that Jonah hates them, right? So the next part of the story is that he's going to show just how angry he is that this is what God did, right? This is why he didn't want to go there, because he didn't want them to repent, right? He didn't want this. He didn't want them to be spared. He wanted God to wipe them out, yeah? And then, okay. So anyway, it's just to say, like, how great it is that that's in the scriptures, by the way. But, you know, it's like, we think of it as like this, I don't know, this kind of museum, this very kind of sanitized place. You look at It's not that way at all, right? This is the stuff of human hearts, and sadly, those hearts are very similar today as they were then. I don't know. It's good that Scripture gives us an insight into our own condition, right? But also gives us always the power and glory of God, and His commitment to the world that He has created, to people who he has made in his image and likeness, and the project that he wants to see through to completion, right? No matter how much rebellion and derailment and whatever goes on, as we go. So anyway, just a snapshot. So we'll continue that tomorrow as well. Jesus entering the village, Martha and Mary. Yeah, we have this kind of standard view of the passage, a kind of... I think St. Augustine really popularized the allegorical view of Martha and Mary, the kind of contemplative life and an active life. All well and good, but can I say the drifting from one to the other, Jesus is not making comment on the good of the contemplative life over the active life. That's not what's happening in the passage. In fact, he would affirm both sides of contemplative and active life. Because everyone, you know, was a Francis de Sales, I say, you know, every one of us needs half an hour of meditative prayer every day, right? Unless you're busy, then you need an hour, right? So all this to say is there is some kind of symmetry between the active and contemplative life. You want to lead a super active life, you're going to need to lead a super contemplative life. Yeah, and we should allow God to draw us deeply into, say, one realm or the other, knowing that there is balance, and say, like, our sustenance for the active life that we feel so called to is the contemplative life, right? Is the prayerful life, the life of prayer. So the life of love is fueled by the life of prayer. And the life of prayer finds its outlet in the life of love. So in that sense, prayer, or the fuel of prayer is love. So sometimes we think, oh, my prayer is so, it's so barren, it's so dry, like it's, I don't feel like anything's happening. Okay, so then go and love someone. Do you know? Go and love. Go and pour yourself out in love. Now, we have like those two sides of the thing. Sometimes you have to clear up the blockage on the other side in order to get some life into the one that you're more focused on, right? And likewise, you know, we're kind of banging our head against the wall, trying to love the people that God's entrusted to our care, not realizing that, man, if we just went deeper in prayer, then we would find more strength, more energy, even more insight, and the rest to do what it is, again, we're being called to do. So Jesus is not saying one or the other, right? He's affirming again both and in this passage, most say the revolutionary aspect of it, the most revolutionary aspect of it, is that he's saying that to a woman. Okay, so we just have to get over that hurdle together, right? Here is Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. What is she doing? She's studying. Yeah, she is apprenticing under him. This is what that language means. Yeah, so she is becoming a preacher and a teacher of the kingdom of God. She's hanging out in the place where only men can be. Yeah, and say we could say, well, for good reason. We know what happens between men and women, right? So men and women can mix outside, and they can mix in the marital bedroom, right? They can mix outside where everybody's buzzing about and whatever, public view, the whole thing. They can mix there, and they can mix in the privacy of the marital bedroom. Yeah. So here in that part of the house, she is not allowed to be there. It's a scandal that she's there. And Martha is giving voice to it. And Martha is saying, it's a shameless, you know, she's shameless. And Jesus says, well, no, she's actually in the right place. Now here, this is the challenge, right? And we can imagine, I'm trying to give you some sense of the boundaries that he's breaking. Yes, Jesus is breaking or say, renewing or redrawing in the same way that he's just redrawn, say that those most important boundaries of say Israel and the world, right? That was the parable of the Good Samaritan. He's redrawing the way that Israel relates to the world. Now he's redrawing some of the boundaries within Israel. Yeah? So now here, and this is a very uncomfortable scene in that sense. It's very uncomfortable. And to some extent, I want you to experience that discomfort. Because then what Jesus is coming back and saying is, okay, but look, her priority is me. And that's what matters. And then we'll go from there. So if we have to redraw every aspect of human society in order to prioritize Jesus, that's what we have to do. Now be very careful redrawing back, you know, like this is Jesus at work. He knows what he's doing. And we shouldn't think that, you know, we're able to redraw, you know, boundaries and on all the rest by ourselves. Like we're going to somehow reimagine human society. No, in fact, we have to join God in dreaming about his promised future, right? We have to join God in dreaming about what the world looks like when his rule of holiness and justice is established. And we have to begin living into that now. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah, this is what's going on in the passage. And all of that means that we have to keep Jesus at the center, and that we have to trust and follow him in all things, at all times. That is the one necessary thing for the disciple of Jesus. Yeah, we, just like Mary, are apprenticing under Jesus. We're sitting at his feet. Yeah, they're going to say, well, puppy eyes or not, right? We're sitting at the feet of the master. We are apprenticing under Jesus. Our lives are to look like his. That's the point. Yeah, Mary has made that commitment. It won't be taken away from her. So too, we make that commitment. It cannot be taken away from us. We could give it up. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. We could give it up, but it will not be taken from us. Our discipleship here leads all the way to the cross. Yeah, nothing can take it away from us because we follow a Lord. We follow Jesus, whose way cuts right through death. I talk about redrawing boundaries, right? We follow a God whose love is stronger than death, and it's ours to hold on to his love no matter what it is we encounter, right? No matter what it is we face. It's to continue to be the active contemplatives that he's called us to be. He's called us to be the people of prayer and love, bringing now, right? Beginning the work now of implementing his kingdom of holiness and justice. And with him at the head of the movement, and with our submission to him as our Lord and King, we will play our role in God's plan to restore his entire world.